this evening and to be able to continue in our series of studies, which we began a few evenings ago. And we hope that as we open the God's Word and His truth, that you and I can be better equipped to serve Him, because really, that's what it's all about. It's about being a servant of the Most High God. It's about being all that we can to bring Him the glory and the honor that He so rightfully and wonderfully deserves because of who He is, because of the characteristics which He possesses, and because of His great love for us, in that He has shared with us and shown us what is good, what is right, what is proper. And if we will only study it and then practice it, we will be able to live our life in this world in a very peaceful way, at least as much as possible in a fallen world, and at the same time to also have joy and hope of being with Him in eternity. Now, we are talking about lasting values. And as we have said almost every evening, when we talk about values, what we're talking about are those things which are worth pursuing. Those things which are worth you and me putting all of our time and efforts in trying to possess. Now, a lot of times in our society, we find people possess, or actually, I guess we could say, value possessions. That is, that they think that what life is really to be all about is acquiring a lot of material goods, or being able to live a life in which they can do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. But as we can see, when we open up the Scripture, God's value system is really different than the world's. And the reason God's value system is different than the world's is because that we are in a fallen world, and we are sinners. And so our thinking isn't as it ought to be. And one of the things that God has done is given us the Scripture, the inspired Word, which is able to help us see where we come up short. And, you know, I think we all need to come to that realization that without God's guidance, I don't know what's right. Without God's guidance, I don't know what's valuable, what's worth having, and what isn't. If it's just left up to me, I'm sure that I may choose things, well, I know I would, that really aren't worth anything in the grand scheme of things. And so God in His love has shared with us His Word, and in it He has told us what we ought to value, what's important, what's worth having, what we ought to pursue after. And so we've been studying some of those things this week, and tonight we want to continue in that vein, and we're going to talk about honesty. In fact, I guess we could say we're getting honest about honesty, because I think that's something that is very, very important. Because really, when you stop and you think about it, being dishonest, and what I mean by dishonest is just not being truthful and upfront, is really promoted in our culture. Many people do not think that it's wrong to tell lies. Now, most of the time, when you ask them, is it wrong to tell a lie, they say, well, it's not wrong if you're lying to help somebody else. See, now that's Satan's twist on it. There's where he takes that which is wrong and tries to make it sound like it's a right act, okay? It's okay if I lie when I lie to help and assist and do good for somebody else. And we'll say, oh, perhaps, you know, I lie because I've got to keep myself out of trouble. That's probably the number one reason why most people lie, is because we just don't want to be honest. And when we are, we know that we're not what we want to appear to be to others, and sometimes even to ourselves. But people don't really think that it's that wrong to lie. A little white lie, we say. There again, it's another one of Satan's tools to make it sound that, you know, white is always associated with purity. White is always associated with victory. And so whenever you tell a white lie, then what you're doing, you see, is associating that in people's minds with, well, it was a good lie. You know, that's a good lie. And then, of course, you know, you have those who say, not only do we tell the white lie, there's the little lie versus the big lie. And, you know, it's okay to tell the little lie, but the big lie, you know, don't do that. And, of course, you know, we're always left with, well, you know, what might be little to one, maybe big to another, and vice versa. See, when you take away the standard by which to measure things, how in the world are you going to measure big and little? You know, when you've got God's Word out of the picture, which says, guess what? Don't lie at all. You know, I mean, when you look at that and it's out of the way, how are we going to determine what's big, what's little, what's white, what's the white lie, and what's not? So we know that dishonesty is actually promoted in our culture. We even expect dishonesty in many instances. I mean, we're not shocked when people are dishonest, and we think that's just par for the course, and so we're happy with it. Dishonesty, though, is also present in our lives. You know, one of the things that the Bible tells us about is that we have sinned, and part of the sin that I'm sure that every one of us in here is guilty of is at some time or another failing to measure up to the standard of honesty that God has established for us to stand up to and measure up to in the Scripture. And one of the, I guess, biggest areas where we make mistakes is in honesty to ourselves. How many times does the Bible say, beware, don't deceive yourself? Don't be deceived. And you know, we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves a lot of lies. And most of the time those lies are for our own psychological and emotional protection, I guess. It's how we can maintain, okay, some semblance of sanity, we think, when we know we're wrong. Okay, we justify things, and we blame others. And a lot of times when we self-justify, when we blame other folks, most of the time what we're justifying and what we're doing is really our fault. But it's best to lie and say, it's not, I didn't have anything to do with it. And dishonesty then, I guess we could say, is really a part of our spiritual problems. Now the answer to dishonesty, of course, is honesty. And you know, there was a day in which this culture and which people, and I think honesty has always been a problem. You know, it's not a new sin. Dishonesty isn't. But you know, there was a time when people valued it, I think, a lot more than what they do today. But because of whatever forces are at work, and because of the progression we've made down the broad road as far as history is concerned, we've become pretty comfortable with a whole lot of things that a few years ago we weren't comfortable with at all. Okay, that's the way sin is. Sin, you get used to it. You get acclimated to it. It's like jumping in a cold pool of water. You know, when you first get in it, it's shocking. But after you've stayed there a while, you finally get used to it and you adjust. Well, we've adjusted to a lot of things that 50 years ago would have shocked everyone. And probably did when they started to become common practice. But some of you can remember, I'm sure, the time when somebody, when they told you something, they meant it. Okay, and deals were made without having to sign papers. You know, a person's handshake, a person saying, this is what I'm going to do, was enough. But it's not that way anymore. And the reason that it isn't is that dishonesty is, again, one of Satan's tools, and it has become very, very prevalent. But I think that we as members of the church need to realize that honesty is something that we need to value and that we need to work on in our lives, particularly first starting with ourselves, making sure that we're honest with ourselves, and then also making sure that we're honest in our practice with other folks. Over in the book of John, the 8th chapter, and what we first want to do tonight is to establish, I think, some kind of foundation upon which we can build this lesson. And I just want to read you a statement so that we can understand why it is that we need to value honesty and hate its counterpart. In John chapter 8, you know, David said he hated every false way. And whenever we talk about that, we need to hate things like lying and being dishonest. But in John chapter 8, we find that Jesus was having a discussion with some of the people of his day. And one of the things that they always were having problems with was the fact that he was telling them that things about God, and they said, you're not as great as Abraham, you know, the whole line there. And so in this midst of the conversation, in verse 42, Jesus says this to him. He says, if God were your father, John 8, verse 42, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come in myself, but he sent me. So why do you not understand what I'm saying or my speech? He says, because you are not able to listen to my word, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now look at what he says about the devil. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you see, whenever you stop and you look at the idea of being dishonest, okay, where do we trace the roots of dishonesty back to? Is it something that's from God or something from Satan? As you can see here, then dishonesty is from the devil. He was a murderer. He was a being from the very beginning that wanted to lie and was considered to be the father of it. So on the negative side, we can say, well, I don't want to be dishonest. I want to value honesty, because to be dishonest would make me just like these guys. Right? Make me just like them. I would be such that I was pledging my allegiance to the devil. Right? I would be saying, the devil is my father, and instead of God the Father. And I guess what he meant when he used that phrase was, well, you're living just like Satan lives, and the way he wants you to. You're under his control. So I guess one of the things that we can say then is this, that I want to be dishonest, so therefore I want to be honest, because to be dishonest would mean that I would be like the devil. Then there's also, I think, a very positive reason why we want to be honest. I want you to go with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms, and go to Psalms chapter 15. And, Psalms is one of those marvelous and wonderful books that so many times we don't study a lot from, except when somebody's dead. And, that's such a shame, because there's so many wonderful things in there. Like, I want you to consider what it is that David takes up here. He asks God a question, and he gets an answer from him. And I want you to notice, as we look in, okay, the answer that God gives, all of the things and words that are associated with being honest. Because when you get into the Scripture, one of the things that you're going to find is honesty is referred to as being upright. Okay? Honesty is referred to as walking in integrity. Honesty is referred to as being a person who deals fairly with others. And so what we need to keep in mind is that while we may not just see the word honesty, walking in truth, walking uprightly, being upfront, having integrity, all of those words go together to help paint a picture of what we're supposed to do. So I want you to notice this. Now, we're looking at it from the standpoint of that which was positive. He says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill or mountain? So really what he's asking is who's going to be in your presence in the end? This is a wonderful sermon too, by the way, this whole chapter is. And there's only 5 verses in it. But I mean, it's a very powerful sermon. And in fact, this could be a whole theme for a series of studies, because you could go through and take each and every one of these verses and use them and develop them and see what the Bible has to say about them. But listen to this. Who may dwell in your holy hill? First of all, verse 2. He who walks uprightly. Ah. Okay. Not a person who's crooked. Okay. Not a person who is dishonest. The first thing that God says is this. You know who's going to abide in my holy hill? You know who's going to be in my tabernacle? You know who's going to be with me in eternity? He who is honest. He who is upright, not crooked. He says, and works righteousness, forget this, and speaks the truth in his heart. So now again, you see a second thing, don't you? There are 2 things. He who walks uprightly, and he who then speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. What do you mean by that? You know, when I said that, well, that probably the number one reason for telling a lie is to protect your hide. Okay, because you put yourself in, or there's somebody after you, or whatever, and so the best way to get out of it is to just say, no, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. I don't want to be that way. And so what he then tells us here is, a person who is really honest is a person who will swear to his own hurt, which means they will tell the truth even when they know that truth, okay, may inflict upon them because they told it some harm. But keep in mind, the kind of harm that would come from telling truth is only temporary. The kind of harm that comes from not telling the truth is eternal. Okay, so when you weigh that, I think it's much easier, much better to be truthful, to be honest, to be upright in things eternal than in things that are temporary. But notice here what he says. He says, he who does these things, finally in verse 5, he says, shall never be moved. Look at what he says in verse 5. He who does not put out his money usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. You know, not open the bribery. That's another honest act. So I guess one of the things that we see that underlines several things in this passage, okay, is that God wants us to be upright. He wants us to speak the truth. He wants us to be honest and not do underhanded things like take bribes. And he wants us, even if we need to, swear to our own hurt, which means to tell the truth even when that truth may in some way, form, or fashion seem, or at least appear to at the time, to cause you some unpleasantness. Okay? So we've seen it from both sides now, haven't we? We've seen on the negative side that if I'm not honest, then I'm of my father the devil. That would be the way Jesus told them. Well, I don't want the father to be, you know, my father to be the devil. So how do I keep from that? Be honest. On the positive side, we find that what God has said to us is this, that honesty permeates. You know, it flows through the whole essence of who we are. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a thing I add to my Christian life. It is my Christian life. It's a part of it. Part of who I am. It's like taking a little thread and weaving it through a fabric. Okay? So much so that, you know, that web, that thread's everywhere. And so really when you begin to look at all the ways that you manifest who you are in Christ, as you look at the way that you live your life in all of your relationships and in everything that you do, honesty should prevail and permeate that. Now, how then can you and I take steps toward being an honest person? Okay? What can I do? Well, that's what I want us to look at. Step number one. One of the first things that we have to do is to take an honest inventory. Okay? That is, how honest am I? You know, one of the things that most of us are pretty good at doing, that's examining other folks. Okay? We all get real good at that. Not only are we real good at that, we're often real good about talking about other folks and pointing out their weaknesses and making sure that other people see that person is weak. You know why I think we really do that? I mean, we're ugly little creatures sometimes. The reason we do that is that takes attention off of us for a while. Okay? So if I can get everybody thinking about so-and-so, I can say, okay, but they didn't catch what I'm doing. But, you know, we sometimes are just that way. We examine everybody else. Now, I believe in examination. But the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to examine who? The other folk? No. Examine yourself, prove whether you be in the faith. Who knows you better than you do? Who knows me better than me? You know? You see what I allow you to see, don't you? You see only what I choose to reveal to you, and vice versa. That's why they've always said that if you really want to get to know somebody, travel with them for a while. Okay, because when you begin to travel with them, all of a sudden you're around them a lot more. When you're around them a lot more, you say, wow, I didn't know it was like that. Because they let the guard down. But the point of it is we need to examine ourselves and really know ourselves when it comes to being honest, being truthful. Proverbs chapter 14 tells us in about verse number 9 that this is something we need to be concerned with. All of these things we're talking about needs to be approached from the standpoint of what this means to me. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 9, he says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Another way that we could say this would be this way. Fools don't care if they sin. They mock at it. Sin doesn't mean a thing to a fool. Don't care whether they're honest or not. He says, but honest people, that is upright people, as he mentions here, they work at being right. They work at favor. That's why you need to take an honest inventory. How honest am I being? There's three questions I want you to ask yourself here tonight. Okay? Look deep into your own heart. And if there's ever time to be honest, it's honest this evening with yourself. Okay? with yourself. Question one. When am I being dishonest? Now notice, I didn't say if you were. Because generally most all of us have some area where we're not what we ought to be when it comes to the subject of honesty. Okay? May not be that we tell a blatant lie. But sometimes we may be dishonest in areas we don't think about. But what about it? Well, think about some of your areas. Are you honest in your marriage? Okay? Are you honest with yourself? Okay? Yeah, with the things you do know about yourself. You honest at work? Truthful at work? Do those who employ you get what they pay for? Okay? That's part of being honest, isn't it? Are you honest in your lifestyle? Double-minded people, the Bible says, are unstable in all their ways. And, you know, there's a lot of times when people have that double lifestyle. Okay? Here with this crowd, this is what we do. But then on the weekend or in another crowd, here's the way we are. Okay? What about with our friends? Am I honest with God? You sure think we would be, don't you? He knows when we're not. But, you know, a lot of times we try to fool Him. Just like we try to fool ourselves. And sometimes we're trying to fool Him and we don't even know that's what we're trying to do. That's why this deceitfulness is so horrible. But the first question is, you know, where and when are you dishonest if you are? Secondly, how are you being dishonest? Now here's where a lot of times we don't think of what we're doing as being dishonest, because what we do is we masquerade it as something that's good. We doctor it up and we justify it in our minds. Take, for example, protecting others. Okay? Oh, well, that's a time to really be, okay, dishonest, right? I'm not going to say anything. How many times are we as Christians, even when we know that someone is in sin, and that if they were to die, the worst thing in the world would happen to them, which would be die without Christ, or die in a lost and undone condition, and we, in order to protect their feelings, aren't honest with them about the sin in their life. We do that. Have there been times when you knew that you should have said, but you didn't? Simply because you wanted to protect their feelings? Didn't want to hurt their feelings? Is that dishonest? It certainly is. What about silence? Sometimes just not speaking when we ought to speak. Letting people believe things not expressly said. You know, I didn't really say it. They just deduced that from what went on. Okay? You know, somebody calls. I've been guilty here. Try not to do it anymore. But you know, those telemarketers, they call. Where are you at? And it's like they got a big camera watching. They know when you sit down to eat supper. Okay? They know. That's what you're going to do when you're watching a movie or something on TV. Anyway, so they call. One kid picks up the phone. I think it's one of them calls, Dad. Because they can tell. And you say, tell them I'm not here. And you run out the door. Okay? Now, technically, you're not. You just ran out that. You know what I mean, didn't you? Let me ask you a question. Is that being honest? Am I not trying to deceive? I'm trying to find a technicality. Okay? I'm trying to find a loophole. Right? In God's law about honesty. Well, I mean, technically, I'm really not in here. Because I'm out there. I just went out. But how would I feel if my daughter said, Dad just said he's stepping outside. He's done in here. And told him the whole story. You see what I'm saying? So, sometimes it's what we don't say. The way we do it, but it's just manipulation. We're not to be manipulators. Are we dishonest with our use of time, with slander, deceit, motive, flattery? Okay, flattery is exaggeration, kind of embellishing the story, shading the truth, maybe compromising, justifying. But, you know, how are we dishonest? There's more ways than just blatantly telling a big lie. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to get you to see. And then thirdly, why are you being dishonest? You got to really do some soul searching. If I do have a problem in this category, why is it? Number one, most of the time it's fear. We're afraid of something. Maybe of hurting someone. Okay? Maybe afraid of people finding out what we really are. Okay? Fear of what we have done. And I tell you what, it's not good to live in a spirit of fear, is it? So fear. Sometimes it's greed. We want more. Sometimes it's convenience. It's just easier to lie and tell them the truth. Okay? Sometimes we lie out of anger because we want to inflict pain. Or we're defending ourselves even when we're guilty, so we lie. Sometimes it's insecurity. Sometimes we exaggerate and embellish and make ourselves feel far more important than what we really are. Okay? So that we'll get other people to like us. Maybe pride. Maybe expediency. Personal gain. Outside pressure. You name it. There are all kinds of ways of being dishonest and all kinds of reasons as to why we are, aren't there? So if you want to be an honest person, you got to get honest about honesty. Your honesty. You got to look at your life and say, do I, am I upright in all of my dealings, in all of my relationships? And let me tell you something. If you do this and you find that you're not, don't panic. In fact, I'm going to question you honestly if you do this and you find that you are perfect in every one of these ways and honest in all of these things. Okay? But you know, some good people have had some trouble with this, haven't they? Abraham. Abraham? The father of the faithful? Who is this Abraham that you've got with you, this beautiful woman, asked one of the kings of the land. Well, she's my sister. Well, she was. You know, she was his half-sister. But that wasn't what the king was worried about. The king wanted to take her as his wife. See what I'm saying? Abraham knew the king would probably want to take her as his wife. And he also knew that if the man knew that he was married to her, he'd kill Abraham, so he could have her. Fear. Okay? So, we got to take that honesty survey. Don't be surprised if you find in some areas that maybe there's some tuning up you have to do here. Remember, you don't have to set out deliberately to be a deceiver to deceive people. Okay? I think that sometimes we as Christians think, well, you know, I wouldn't want to tell, I don't really think anyone in here would want to be a deliberate liar. Or be dishonest. I wouldn't either. But are there times when I catch myself being dishonest? Yes. That's something I do say, don't say, will do, not do. You know what I'm saying? Got to constantly, you know, somebody said the other day, it's a constant battle. Yes, it is. From the time we get up to the time we go to sleep, and it will be till you will leave this world. That's why we hear in Ephesians 6, dress yourself in the attire of the Roman soldier and be ready to do battle every day. Because you're in one. We're just looking at one little aspect. But as I said a while ago, this one goes a long ways because it permeates a whole lot of other things, doesn't it? All right, secondly, make an honest evaluation of your gains and losses. Okay? You know, Solomon more or less tells us that trouble chases sinners. Well, it does. It follows behind us, doesn't it? Think about it. When you've been dishonest, in the long run, has it helped? No, because, you know, you always get found out. Or perhaps you've been so dishonest, you know, it's like somebody calls and you say, "Tell me in here," and they hear you. Okay? So the point of it is that sometimes, you know, you get yourself in some hot water. But ask yourself, think about, have there been times when you weren't what you were supposed to be, you were not upright, you did not live honestly, and it made things even worse? I'd say every one of us in here can do that, can't we? And you need to keep in mind this, that being upright and being honest develops your character. Okay? That's the good thing about it. Being dishonest gets you in more and more hot water and in more and more trouble. But you know, people who live honest lives, upright lives, Proverbs 20, verse 7 tells us, will be a blessing to their children. What's he saying? By them watching you as parents, grandparents, and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends, and as Christians, children are taught that character counts. Okay? Being upright, being honest counts. Secondly, under this honest evaluation, keep in mind that honesty develops spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is trying to grow up to be like who? To be like Christ. Right? Now, as we mentioned last night, the moment you obey the gospel, you don't automatically, just like that, become a full-grown, mature Christian, do you? There's a struggle. Just like when children are born. They're not born walking. Okay? They're not born talking. Not born making decisions. They develop and they grow. And they learn while they develop and they grow. The same thing is true with you in your Christian walk. God wants you to become like Christ. Christ was our example. We're to follow in His footsteps. We're to take upon ourselves His characteristics, and certainly honesty, uprightness, integrity was one of them. So as you practice honesty and struggle with that in your life, guess who you're becoming more like? That's certainly a gain, isn't it? Not a loss. You know, when you lie, when you're dishonest, when you're not upright, you lose. But when you're honest, you become more and more like Christ. Honesty also develop security. Have you ever been afraid you're going to be found out for your dishonesty? Got blank looks. Am I the only one that's had the thing of where I did something and I didn't want to know that, and I was afraid I was going to be found out? Okay, that looks better. Okay, I can tell some of you down. Okay, we all know about the fear of being what? Found out, right? Strikes all kinds of anxiousness in us. Oh, hope they don't figure that out now. Okay. When you've been up front, do you still have that kind of fear? No, because there's nothing for them to find out. You know, I told them. Doesn't mean they like it. But they already know it. And go home and sleep. You know, not worry about somebody finding you out. Because you say, well, there ain't nothing for them to find out. They already know. Okay? So at least that's some comfort. So honesty does provide security. You know that it brings that kind of freedom to you. And now, after you've done this, you need to ask yourself, what's the cost and what have I been paying? Where's the more gains, being honest or not being? Thirdly, third step to being an honest person. Love God and pursue a right relationship with Him. Look over in Psalms 51. what he says here. Psalms 51. We find that, again, David is talking to us about some wonderful things that has gone on in his life that he's having to confess. And he says, after this is David's confession after his sin with Bathsheba, when he hadn't been honest. A lot of covering up in that story, wasn't there? Okay, a lot of covering up in that story. And then he gets in verse 6 and he says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." I got to be true from the inside out. He says, "And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." See, desire to be truthful and to have a right relationship with God. That's true not only of just honesty, that's true with everything that you do as a Christian. And then, fourthly, practice it. Everything we've talked about this week, if not practiced, and that means that you have to discipline yourself to do it, doesn't it? That means that sometimes you may say, "Tell them I'm not here," and you say, "Wait a minute, no, I am. Let me talk. Give me the phone." Okay? Again, remember, do what's right, even when you don't feel like doing what's right. See, that's the key. You do what's right even when you don't feel like doing what's right. Why? Because God said, do it. Somebody once said, you know, what's the big motivation? Is heaven the motivation for doing what God says? No. God's saying it's the motivation for doing what God said. Okay? That's the motivation. The heaven's over there. That's the secondary thing. But the fact God said, do it, should be motivation enough. And it will be for those who care about God. So, you've got to practice it. Look over in James. This is with your whole Christian life, too. With everything. In James chapter 1 and in verse 22, he says, "Be doers of the word," okay, "and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." See, there's even a certain amount of deception involved in being only a hearer. Because I think what happens is we feel like, well, we've heard the truth preached, we've been to church on Sunday, I'm okay. You know, I'm all right. And we fail to realize we've got a big connection between what happened on Sunday and what we heard and what we learned and what's going to happen tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, as I live my life. So he says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." He says, "For anyone is just a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's like a man who sees himself in a glass or in a mirror." And he says, "He observes himself and he goeth his way and forgets immediately what kind of man he was." Okay, and so we've got to understand that honesty is something to be practiced. When you practice it, you get better at it. Okay, when you value it, you see, keep in mind, God rewards honesty. He rewards it by guarding us. He rewards it by directing us and by sustaining us. Jesus said, "I am the way." And what? "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Honesty is something that we should desire, something that we should value. And it's very easy in this world in which we live, okay, to begin to think like they do. Okay, and that's saying things like, "Well, you know, this little lie's not that big. I mean, who's going to be hurt by it?" Okay, I remember one time, and I heard a preacher say this, and isn't this a shame? But he got up. He had been accused of Well, he was fired. And they said he was fired for stealing. So he got up in front of the congregation. And he said, now I'll never forget it. I was a teenager and I was sitting there. And he said, guys, he said, they fired me for stealing. He said, I've never stole nothing but a bunch of nuts and bolts and stuff like that from down there. That's what he said. And I said, then, you know, I was just a kid and I knew better. And I mean, you know, but in his way of thinking, because those just cost a quarter, okay, because those were just real things, it didn't, shouldn't matter. Should it? Where does God make a distinction? I mean, where's God's statue of limit? You know, where does he say, okay, this is a minor crime, this is a felony, God doesn't do that. Was it right for him to take what was his, not his? Sure was. But I mean, he made that statement of kind, and you know what was bad? He continued to preach. Congregation kind of fell for that, I guess. Oh, okay, yeah, now we understand. You know, you were fired because you took nuts and bolts and stuff like that. You know, one of the things that Jesus said, if you're not faithful and upright in little matters, how can we trust you with big ones? You know what I'm saying? If a person will tell me a little lie, using the world's terminology now, if they'll tell me a little lie about a little thing, well, I know they'll have no problem about something big. You know, I mean, if they're lying a little matter, let something real bad happen and see where they'll leave you. Right? And we always think in the opposite way. We think, well, if they tell you, you know, it's okay to tell the little one, they just won't lie in the big one. No, 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 no. If a person's not faithful with the little things in life, you can rest assured they'll not be faithful with the big ones either. That's just the way we are. People who pay attention to detail, you know, at the office, I like to surround myself with people who pay attention to detail. You know why? Because they're never going to leave me hanging. They'll make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted, you know, in anything we do. Sometimes it get annoying, you know. I mean, they're always checking me and always saying, no, you got to do this, you got to take that. That kind of gets under my skin, but they're right. You know what I'm saying? And they're faithful in little things. And I know they'll be there in the big ones. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, be honest about your standing before God. Be honest with yourself. By not being a Christian, you're separated from God. If you were to die separated from God, you would be eternally lost. But Jesus died, and as we quoted a moment ago, He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can come to the Father through Him, and you come by your faith, that is, accepting what He did as a substitute for your own sin, trusting Him. You know, somebody said one time when it was talking about faith, they said one of the best ways to see the difference between merely believing, and we get confused about believing and really having faith. I said that years ago there was a man came to Niagara Falls and he wanted to walk across on a tightrope. He was trying to make a name for himself. And so he went over and everybody was really impressed. Crowd started coming. And he got out there and he began to ask the crowd. He says, how many of you believe that I can put somebody on my shoulder and walk across this tightrope over the falls? All of them, we all believe. He said, who will volunteer? And nobody went up. Okay. Yeah, we believe you can carry somebody on your shoulder. This ain't going to be me. You know. And a lot of times people say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But then when He calls you to be baptized, to make that confession, you're just like the crowd who stands and says, oh, I believe, but I ain't crawling on His shoulders. What about it tonight?
and then as members of the Lord's church, if we've not been as faithful as we ought to be. Now it's time for us to get honest with ourselves too, isn't it? You know, I had a man one time tell me, he said, you know, every time an invitation is given, I have an urge to go forward and ask for prayer. He said, I won't, because what will people think about me? You know, he said, what would they think? He said, I've got to maintain my position. And I thought, well, you're talking, you ain't got a position. But you know, in his own mind. But if as Christians we've not been what we ought to be, let's ask God to forgive us. We'll pray with you and for you. That's our lesson while we stand and while we sing.